Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Get my settings going here.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah.
In the introductions, at some point, you may already have planned to do this, but if you could just remind folks, especially those who are wanting to speak, to raise their hands at the point when the application comes, and I'll make sure to give them the opportunity and we don't forget them, okay?
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you much.
Yeah.
Hey, Juliana, I just wanted to make sure, is the chat function disabled? It looks like it is.
It should be, yes. Let me do a double check.
Okay, it looks like it is. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Let's see. Somebody remind me where the little hand is. If somebody wants to raise their hand, it's located
at the top right of the screen.
Okay, thank you.
Should be for participants. You may not have it. I think it's for participants.
I don't think I have it. That makes sense. Okay.
I think yes, you click do. On participants.
Yeah, go ahead, Kristen.
Yeah, click on participants and you might have, yeah, the option is at the bottom right of the participants panel.
Right.
There it is. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
All right.
I think I see all of us here. I'm going to go ahead and get started, I suppose. I think, see. Yeah, all the board members are here. Great. Perfect. Perfect. Welcome. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals, online edition. By COVID. I am Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Along with me here online are the other members of the BZA, Don Horton, David Dupree, Christina Boulder, and Grant Rosenberg. Here online as well are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas were sent out today, I believe, to participants via email prior to this meeting. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, and then a second, discussion among board members, and then ultimately a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules will apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow for an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to no more than three speakers, each with 5 minutes maximum to speak. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. And of course, we don't have the directly into the microphone today, so just speak clearly into the microphone on your computer, please. and just real briefly as well, especially because we're conducting this meeting online, we're eager to hear everything about your variance application, but please keep your comments to the point and as brief as possible. Online meetings tend to take longer, and so your help with that would be greatly appreciated for the board. And we'll be strictly adhering to the process rules and our time limits on speaking. Appeals of the decisions by BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition for appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of the BZA decision, of today's decision. One final comment as well, online and doing Zoom meetings, if you're not familiar, if you want to speak up in the right-hand corner, I believe, of your screen, please raise your hand to speak, and as that happens, if you're an attendee and ultimately presenting, we'll be able to acknowledge you by seeing your hand raised to speak. Having said all of that, I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
David Dupree?
I'm here. Sorry, I was muted.
Daniel Odle?
I'm here.
Don Horton?
Here.
Christina Bowler?
Here.
Grant Rosenberg?
Here. All right, very good. Let's see here. Agenda. First item up is I need to ask if anybody would like to make a motion to approve last month's meeting minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion. Second? I'll second. Any discussion on the meeting minutes from last month? Hey, David, I think you're on mute, sir. Nope, no, you're not. Okay. All right, a motion to second. Julianne, if you would, please call a roll call vote.
Sorry about that. David Dupree?
Yes.
Daniel Odle?
Yes.
Don Horton?
Yes.
Christina Bowler?
Yes.
Grant Rosenberg?
Yes.
All right. Meeting minutes from April are approved. Now on to May. Old business. We do not have any old business this month, which brings us automatically to new business. And we'll go straight to file number 5A20VA. Property on Old Broadway, 4685 and 87 Old Broadway. Is there someone here? Is Stuart Anderson here?
I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, and then go through your, just describe your variance for us real quick, okay?
Okay, it's Stuart Anderson, address 404 Bearden Park Circle here in Knoxville. The reason
and
for this,
Stuart, let me interrupt you real quick. I apologize. I forgot. I need to go ahead and ask if there are any staff comments on this item.
Staff has no comments.
Okay, thank you. Stuart, if you would, describe your variance request to us, and as well, your hardship that is the justification for the variance request, okay?
Right. Basically, what we have here are two very, very old buildings that my client owns. That's been a family business for a furniture refinishing operation for quite some time. There was a small courtyard that's kind of formed between the two buildings that they wanted to cover. They went ahead and covered it without getting a permit, which we are now rectifying. But in the process, of course, this has brought about the need to, A, get this property one-lotted, which I believe we're almost finished with, and also to, as I mentioned, get the property properly permitted. But with the new zoning ordinance that came into effect January 1st, this property, of course, is non-compliant in a number of areas that because of the new restrictions that are now in place. So, we've added, a very small little infield area between the two buildings. And, we just would like to be able to continue to use this building, obviously, as it has been for a family operation for quite some time. Obviously these existing buildings are much more than the allowable limits under the new craft industrial classification.
Okay. Thank you, Stuart. I appreciate that. You ask real quick, is there, and Stuart, are you the only speaker to this today?
I believe so. I don't think the owner is present.
Okay. Very good. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? If so, raise your hand for us. Don't see anyone here present raising their hand. So that would move us into board discussion. Board, any questions, comments about this request?
Yeah, 22 parking spaces are required now under the new parking ordinance? Or was there already?
No, basically there are 15 spaces that have been there, you know, since this building's been in operation. The 22, of course, is part of the new zoning ordinance. I can tell you from that there's rarely more than five or six people in this building. It's really, 15 spaces is overkill for what they really need, actually. 22 wouldn't even be possible on this property. But of course, the 15 that are shown in the drawing are what's been there, you know, since this place has been open for business quite a long time ago.
Okay, now a question about the use of the building. Your yes. little key plan shows four different buildings. And this addition is called a hallway. Is this, how's the building going to be used, or is it going to be used differently than how it's being used now?
Right. This is one of those buildings that, of course, has been built over time. You know, it's basically four different structures all joined together. And now this, you might want to call a hallway, this new addition, is basically a way to link them all together without having to, you know, do this U-shaped circulation all the way around. It also helps to, provide some exiting out of the back corner of one of the buildings. But the main thing is it just helps to optimize the efficiency of circulation between these four different sectors of the building. But the use of the building itself won't change. It's just going to be much more efficient for them.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
In other words, it's not really a hardship. Just making it more efficient.
Well, in our view, the hardship is more the fact that this zoning ordinance was applied, you know, to a building that's been there forever. And quite frankly, the scale of this intervention that we've added is pretty minimal and wouldn't even be noticed by 99% of people that would pass by. So that's kind of the way we look at it. It's you know, this place, this business has been there, you know, for a long time, and they'd obviously like to stay there in that community. And this just helps them be a much, much more efficient business.
Were there permits pulled on prior extensions and renovations of this building?
You're talking like those first four buildings that are described in that diagram.
And is it four? I was trying to figure out a little bit, like how many buildings was this originally? And were they built out in sections over time? How was this done?
It's hard to say because, I mean, I'd say the majority of these, I mean, I'd probably say all four sectors of this building were probably from at least 40 years ago. I mean, there's really no good records that I could even find for the structures, but it's obvious during my inspections of the premises that these are all were just, you know, accrued over time, you know, probably back in the day when permits weren't quite so mandated, so to speak. But none of this has been built recently until this last addition, which we basically just roofed over a courtyard and added one wall just to keep it weather tight.
Looking at the KGIS back to 1959 aerial photo, it looks like most of the structures were there.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least Broadway, and then maybe it's just parking or a lot behind it's not showing up very clearly.
Right.
Okay. Stuart, thank you for your comments. Are there any other questions from the board on this? I'm not a big fan of forgiveness applications, like when you go ahead and do something without asking permission, getting a permit on the front end. But I probably on the front end of this one would have been in favor of it because it's existing structure that dates back for a very, very, very long time, and it is pushing up against the boundary lines of the property. So, I mean, other than just demoing the buildings, I mean, there's just not, they would have been in you know, just to fix the property as it sits and has sat for a long time would have been in need, I think, if I'm reading this right, some variances on the parcel.
So this proposed addition, hallway thing, that's not going to impact at any way the floodplain status or anything?
That's correct. We've had that verified with a flood certificate that we've run through the stormwater department.
It was impervious surface before, though, right? Where it was a paved courtyard.
Correct. It was just all concrete. It wasn't a grassed area or any place that would have helped, you know, absorb water.
Any other questions or comments from board?
I'll make a motion we approve.
A second.
Based on the site constraints and the minimal request, considering I agree with the forgiveness versus permission, but also agree with Daniel. You know, this is one we would have approved otherwise. I drive by this property every day, and yeah, there's rarely too many cars. You know, it's rarely full of cars, so the parking issue is not an issue at all, and a lot of the flooding issues have been mitigated with the interstate fixes. So
I'll restate my second on that.
All right, we have a first and a second. Juliana, if you would, unless there's any other comment, Juliana, please call a roll call vote.
David Dupree?
Yes, aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. 5A 20VA is approved. We'll go on to 5B 20VA. Thomas A. Greer and the Park Glen Road address. If you would step forward and give us your name and address for the record. Who's here to speak to that? Tom Greer. I see Tom Greer's hand is raised. Can we move him over to the panelist side? Or is he supposed to be moved over?
Tom, you should be able to talk.
Yes, I think I have a microphone now.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Tom. Go ahead. You're, give us your name and address for the record real quick?
Certainly. My name is Tom Greer, and I live at 1217 Park Glen Road. Before the board today, requesting a variance on my side limits at the same property. We're requesting a setback of 16 feet rather than a total of 20 feet. The affected area is will maintain the 9 feet or 8 feet of required setback. It's just in total, the property would not allow us to end up with 20 feet. The addition will be a covered carport with the matching roof system to the existing dwelling and a storage facility that will be located directly behind the carport area. As you can see, the building's 30 feet wide at the back and 20 feet at the front. That offset of 28 by 10 is a hallway that's incorporated in the structure that would connect both the carport and the storage facility. The small building, outbuilding that you see that I have an X over, has been removed from the property, and that was the purpose for this project, was to remove a sled-style shed building from the property and incorporate our storage in a more attractive condition. We've spoken with neighbors on all sides and including across the street. Everybody is positive about the project. So if there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Sure. Before we do that, let me do a couple things. One is I need to ask if there are any city comments on this application.
No comments.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, I need to ask, is there anyone else here to speak to this application, or is it just, speak in favor to this application?
No, there's not, just me.
Okay, very good. Then I need to ask very quickly if there's anyone here to speak in opposition. If so, please raise your hand on the little screen there. All right, don't see anybody, that's good. So to board, what questions or comments do we have as a board? All right, not everyone jump at the opportunity.
I keep looking at this angled site, property line on the right-hand side of the house, and thinking that if you average the clearances on the setback, I know this is not the way it's done because we go from the minimum point of measurement, but from the front of the house, the visual setbacks are there. I just keep looking at that. Question on the purpose of the addition is the 20 feet, is that saying that this is a two-car garage there or carport?
It is. My wife and I live here. We're kind of empty nesters, and we're planning on staying. We love the property. And so we need to get our vehicles in out of the rain. We converted, when we were raising children, we converted one of the garage bays into a bedroom. So it provides us that opportunity to park our vehicles where we can safely get in and out of them in bad weather.
And this is a carport. It's not enclosed. All of it's not enclosed?
That's correct. It is just a carport. It's consistent with several of the other projects in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
So as a carport, it would still apply, I guess this is staff question, it would still apply like the main structure setbacks rather than an accessory setback?
Correct. We were reviewing it, and since the addition is going to be connected to the house by an enclosed hallway, and it's going to be under one roof system that's going to match the pitch and style of the existing home, we would look at it as an addition to the home instead of.
It looks like, I wonder if this lot was carved off at some point in time. The angled lot line that Don talks about is interesting. It looks like they've split the difference between existing structures. I mean, there's no way to know that. But.
Well, in my research of the property, this particular lot was the old farm garden for the original farmhouse when this property was a farm before it was subdivided. Now that, you know, again, that goes back to almost 1927 or something like that. But it might have been just a way, in order to get the symmetrical lots, they may have had to do this to carve off the family home lot. Mm.
The driveway to the left, that goes to your neighbor's house, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments from the board?
And you're not really expanding the driveway more than what's shown on the aerial? You're just...
No, it's not necessary, because when the building was set up with the two-car garage underneath the split foyer, it was, the turnaround for the driveway was wide enough to accommodate this and then some.
Amy Strider, please tell us.
Any other question or comment?
I move me approve 5D20VA.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? I would be, I'm in favor of this as well. I think the shape of the parcel is what I'm basing that decision on. It's a little bit odd relative to its neighbors, and I think because of that, most of this variance request is being driven by the shape of this particular lot. So I'm in favor of it. Juliana, if you would, please call a roll call vote on the motion.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
All right, 5B20VA is passed. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you all. And I just wanted to say that the board or the staff has been very helpful with this. I've never needed a variance before, and they were very helpful in taking me through the process. So thank you.
Well, good. Thanks for saying that, Tom. Nice to hear. All right, 5D20VA, Lacey Mellon and Josh Henson on 916 Phillips Avenue. I know I saw Josh's name on the list. Let's see here. Josh, will you be speaking to this?
Yes, sir. Can everybody hear me?
We can. If you would, just real quick, your name and address, and then we'll ask some for city comments.
Sure. Joshua Henson. I'm representing the house on 916 Phillips Avenue. The reason I'm requesting a variance is the property is too narrow for a house that I'm moving onto the lot by a foot and a half. And the house that I'm requesting to tear down and remove is uninhabitable and unrepairable.
All right, thank you, Josh. Staff comments on this variance application?
The only comment staff has was the 10-foot wide unimproved alley shown on the proposed survey. That alley was closed in May of 2019 by a city council ordinance, and then in August of 2019, through a quitclaim deed, the city of Knoxville sold that alley to the individual.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Josh, if you would just tell us about your variance request real quick.
Sure. Just requesting to go from a 5-foot setback to a 3.5-foot setback. The house that I'm moving to that lot is at 904 Phillips Avenue. The house has been in that neighborhood for a very long time, and I don't want to tear that house down, and I'd like to move it to 916.
Okay. Very good. I need to ask real quickly, is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request? If there is, please raise your hand on the little panel here. And I do not see anyone raising their hand. All right. Okay, very good. Let's go straight into board questions and comments. Board, what questions and comments do we have?
Is there some reason that the house needs to be moved?
There is. I'm going to be on the corner of 900 Phillips Avenue. I'm building row houses, and I'm going to be continuing that development down through 904 and 906.
I'm sorry, am I on the wrong, we're on D?
Yes, sir, 5D20. DA.
Okay.
916 Phillips Avenue.
Okay. And so this is a request to move the house?
No, the request is actually regarding the distance that the house that they're going to move will sit relative to the property line.
I think that's really what I meant. But
I'm the side yard setback from 5 feet to 3.5. Generally, as I'm looking at this, I mean, obviously, it is a weird small lot, a very small lot that tapers back at the back. And it's tapering that appears to me is causing the need for this variance. The house that's there currently does not. And actually, Josh, maybe that's a good question. What's the condition of the house that's there right now? It doesn't appear to be in very good shape. Is that accurate?
That's correct. I would love to repair that house, and I've had some contractors come over and look at the foundation, but it's definitely unrepairable.
Okay. And is the house at 904, it appears to be smaller than the house that is occupying that site now, the footprint of the house?
Yes, sir, it is. It's a little bit wider, obviously, but
right.
It's
total area of the house.
Maybe
it's smaller.
The footprint definitely appears to be smaller. The survey that they have also, I'm not certain if that includes a little piece that's on the back there or not, but yeah, that looks better right there. Anyways.
Well, I agree with what Daniel was talking about. It is a an odd-shaped lot again, and relocating an existing structure to this site makes more sense than just tearing the house down for your new development. So I would move that we accept this and approve this variance.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Juliana, unless there's further comment, any further comment? Looks like we're all good. Okay, Juliana, please call roll call vote.
Sorry about that, technical difficulties. David Dupree?
Yes.
Daniel Odle?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
All right, 5D20VA is approved as submitted. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you so much.
All right, 5F20VA up next. Aaron Tominson, and the property address is 3308 Barton Street. If you would step forward or state your name and address for the record. Aaron, are you here to speak to that, or see who is? Aaron's here, it looks like. Aaron, you're currently on mute. There you go. Thank you.
All right, there we go. My name is Aaron Tomlinson. I'm with Acre by Acre Surveying, and I represent Mr. Clark at 3308 Barton Street.
Okay, thank you, sir. I need to ask very quickly if we have any staff comments on this variance request.
Staff has no comments.
Ed? Approved.
That was easy enough.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
I'm not sure who that was, but wasn't my vote. I'm just kidding. All right, let's see here. Aaron, if you would, tell us about your variance and the hardship associated.
So basically what's happening here is under the county rules for Knox County, Tennessee, if you would like to add additional acreage to your lot, and if it's under 5 acres, for it to be legal, you have to replat the lot. KUB has agreed to sell the property that is directly underneath the structure. Obviously, you know, we've extended some property lines and kind of made everything as close to square as we can get it without getting very meticulous in our annotations. And since we have done that, that leaves us with the variances that we would need to, because of the sidelines and the rear property line, to have variances for the setbacks. And KUB is only willing, in my understanding, to sell the property that is directly underneath the garage and the carport in the back. And of course, the existing, all structures are existing. And those would also, the structures on the existing lot would also need variances as such.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else here to speak in favor of this request?
To my knowledge, I'm the only one.
All right. Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? If so, please raise your hand on the little panel. See anyone raising their hand in opposition. All right, board. Board, what comments and questions do we have about this application? So, Aaron, I'll just go. I mean, I'll start with asking, what was the driver behind building out over the property line with this owner?
I do not know when the structures were built. I'm not privy to that information. But I can say Mr. Clark is I think he's approaching 90. And he is of the era that, you know, served in the military and went out there and he built what he wanted to. I guess because he thought that he kept the ground up, you know, mowed the yard and stuff back there. I'm not sure what his intentions were. So I don't know if that's any help or not.
All right.
Is there a way to access the garage, I guess, on the north, the most northern point of the property? Is there a way to access that from Barton Street? That garage?
Yes, he has a gate that comes down the right-hand side of the house. It goes through the carport, and there's a gate right there, and he can access the asphalt in the back. I have not actually been inside both of those garages. Obviously, I'm the surveyor. I've been up to the outside of everything. I would assume that they are connected.
When did Mr. Clark buy this property? Aaron?
The property from KUB?
No, sir. The property, the 3308 Barton Street. Do you know?
I do not have that information, but I believe it was over 50 years ago.
The owner card shows not, shows 81, but he could have purchased it before that. It's just that's as far back as the GIS goes.
I do not have his deed in front of me. I couldn't tell you exactly.
I'll look it up.
I am looking at the historical photographs, and it looks like almost at one time there was a Fairwood was paved extending to his property. It appears to be that it was paved, and at that time in 2003, not all the structures were built, and they're it looked like that was access from Fairwood.
That's what I was wondering too, Don.
Daniel?
Yes, sir.
In response to one of your earlier questions, the deed was to him in 1981 by someone with the same last name. So it could have been like a family situation.
Yep, that's what I was just looking at. It looks like Nina May Clark. I think the point there, and Don, I think you were kind of heading down that the same track. It looks like to me from looking at the map that there's been some sort of structure that has overlapped that property line for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's at least one photo that shows that it was actually, there's actually a road across there.
And it appears that the adjacent property was also taking advantage of that in 98. There's all kind of parking and things behind there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I cannot recall if I asked for opposition. Did I ask for opposition on this? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? I don't believe so. Okay. Any other questions for our applicant or comments? My only comment is I have mixed feelings about this. I think that it's up to KUB to police their easements. And on the other hand, it's not okay to build over your property line and then ask for forgiveness after the fact. So, and KUB is working with them and makes me want to work with them, but I don't generally see the strict definition of hardship here. I can't figure out what it is. So
that's my chance. That's my struggle too. I don't see what the hardship is. It's obviously been very overbuilt. And one of my concerns is the access through the back of the property, but it's been that way for a long time, but it's not consistent with the rest of the neighborhood. So I just worry about a precedent being set. If it's allowed for this property, what's to prevent, other properties seeking it.
And it seems like the property might be creating a stormwater issue as well.
Yeah.
I would say it contributes to that just by the amount of impervious surface.
And is this a business or a residence?
Residence.
you wonder why they need so many carports, garages.
Well, not really, but I'm just was looking at the, it looks like because of the extension of those carports, it puts them quite close to that tower that's right there behind the property.
And there is a reason that the easement of that width is established for that power line.
This is not an easement. KUB owns this property in fee simple.
Okay.
In Tennessee, you cannot have an easement across yourself. So they, not that, and I asked KUB to supply an easement for me or anything like that when I originally did the survey so I could give some distances and things like that to show them what was within their easement. And that was not supplied. So my understanding is when you own it in fee simple, you cannot easement across yourself.
Mm-hmm. Billy Joe with KUB has her hand raised.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, this is Billy Joe McCarley with KUB. And you had asked a question about the proximity to the tower. And our engineers have evaluated the site. And we do feel comfortable that the permanent structure can stay and we can stay not in violation of any type of NEC codes. In addition to that, we still have room to operate and maintain our facilities. There was a fence that was also installed on our property, and we did ask Mr. Clark to remove that fence because that fence definitely had some NEC safety concerns that we had expressed to Mr. Clark. That's all I got.
Thank you. All right, any further comment from the board or question for the applicant? If not, I'd like to ask if there is a
I saw the sale agreement. Has a deed been executed for that based on the sale agreement?
To my knowledge, no, there has not.
Can you restate that question, please? This is Billy Joe from KUB.
I was wondering if based on that sale agreement, had there been a settlement whereby a deed has been executed to transfer the property to the owner? I mean, to from KUB to the landowner.
So we have sold that piece of property, and I think the sale agreement is in there, but the piece that you're speaking of right now, I think Aaron or Mr. Tomlinson said that it had not been completed.
Right. So before the property, I think, can transfer officially, it has to be replatted and recorded as what's been outlined here. Is that correct?
That's yes, correct, sir. Daniel.
Daniel,
I have a question for staff.
Could I? Go ahead, Grant.
Sorry, if we approve this, basically all those structures can stay there in perpetuity. Even if a new owner comes in and wants to renovate, the structures can stay there in perpetuity. That's what we if we approve this, correct?
That's correct, Grant. I think, you know, in terms of the conversations I'm hearing from the board members, you know, if the board is of the opinion that perhaps you want to approve this variance, I think I would caution you all in your motion to just make it very, very clear that this is incredibly fact specific and definitely involves, you know, kind of an odd set of circumstances. so that it's narrowly constrained precedent.
Any other questions, comments, or do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we deny 5F20VA.
We have a motion. We have a motion and a second on 5F20VA to deny the application. Any other comment or from the board?
I would point out that we could deny certain requests, I guess. We could choose some to approve or deny if that's appropriate.
That could certainly be done. If that's the case, I would probably recommend going through variance by variance, you know, the requests individually. I know that's going to be a pain with the roll call votes, but that would make it the cleanest in terms of the record.
And I would request if we do that, Christina, I'm not necessarily opposed to doing that, except that I'd like to understand your thoughts on the plan for doing that. Like what are you trying to achieve in doing that, and what would the plan be? Does that make sense what I'm asking for?
Yeah, I was just pointing out that it's possible to do that. I'm not sure that I have a proposal articulated for it. But yeah, I just wanted to point out if that helps to ease our thinking about it.
Yeah, so, it's good question. I think it's just tough to try, you know, if we deny one, it impacts, I guess they're all connected, it seems like.
Yes, I'm most inclined to deny request number 8.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of coverage.
But then that has an impact on all the others. If the only way to reduce the imperviousness is to reduce the structures.
Well, you could change the ground cover.
Yeah.
Without removing structures. But maybe. We can let that motion go through. I think I just wanted to add that in case it changed anyone's thoughts about it.
Thank you. I understand that. I think Don is probably, the amount of roof that I see on that lot, I'm not certain if they went to a permeable paver system, for example, I'm not certain they could do enough of that to get to 40%. There would still have to be a variance there, I would imagine. I'm guessing. I don't have a ruler to check that, but just from what I see visually. We have a motion and a second. On that motion, let's go ahead and take a vote. Juliana, would you please do a roll call vote?
David Dupree?
Aye, in favor of denial.
Daniel Odell?
Aye, in favor of denial.
Don Horton?
Aye, in favor of denial.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much, Juliana. 5F20VA is denied as it's submitted. And just as a brief reminder, Aaron, as you go back to your customer, that all of our decisions can be appealed to City Council. Mm-hmm. And, thank you.
Hey, thank you. And again, your staff has been impeccable. Thank you.
Well, thank
you. May I ask one quick question? This is Billy Joe McCarley again. We had executed the sale agreement with the variance being denied and therefore the property not being able to be replatted. Does that, will that void the sale agreement, or do I just need to go back to my staff and ask that question?
Yeah, I think maybe Christina or Peter can answer that. I think I know the answer, but maybe city staff can answer that for us real quick.
This is Peter Ahrens, Director of Plans Review and Building Inspections. You'll need to go back to your staff, Billy Joe. Based on these outcomes, we will follow up with the applicant as far as the removal of said structures, because they were not permitted and they are illegal structures. So we'll go at it from that perspective, but we don't get involved in the ownership of the land.
I'd wait till, if it's going to be appealed to city council, obviously wait till that process is has gone through.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, let's see here. Next up, 5G 20 VA, Aaron Pennington, and 215 West Glenwood Avenue. Aaron, are you here? Let's see, it looks like you are. Your hand is raised, thank you. Go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please.
This is Aaron Pennington. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm at 935 Eleanor Street. I'm here representing the owner of 215 West Glenwood Avenue, Julie Belcher.
Okay, thank you. Are there any staff comments on this application? Is that a no? Ryan, there you go.
I'm sorry, Daniel, could you repeat?
I just asked if there was any staff comments on this application.
Yeah, this is Peter Ahrens, Director of Plans Review and Inspections again. I ran down to talk to Brian briefly about this. This also is a congested area and parking is a big deal, and we are not looking favorably on parking reductions. That would be all.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Aaron, if you would please tell us about this variance request and the hardship that you all are stating as the basis for the request.
Sure. So maybe I can briefly talk about the project and then talk about the hardship. So first of all, there's two historic structures located on the lot. One being the existing garage, which is on the site plan sheet that was provided as sort of north on the page, which backs up to the existing alley. And then there's an existing house that fronts Glenwood. So the goal of the project is to create a studio for the owner. And so that is planned to happen in the addition to the existing house, the primary residence. And then the existing garage is planned to be converted into an accessory dwelling unit. I'd also like to point out that the existing garage seems a bit larger in scale than it might be actually used as. It is recognized as a two-car garage, but it's hard to tell on this drawing, but there's a division sort of at the two-third line that is a cast-in-place concrete wall. And there's also an elevation change within the structure. So a third of that garage was kind of used for storage, I believe, historically. And then the other two thirds were used as the garage, but it is very narrow and not a very usable garage since it was built for a much smaller car, I think in 1910. So the hardships that we have are the historic structures currently present on the site, coupled with the existing topography limit alternate siting of the addition. And it also kind of limits our options for parking, since essentially the only place that we can park on the site would be accessed from a very narrow portion of the alley where we're showing the parking in this site plan diagram. So there's, I believe, a 6-foot topography change from Glenwood up to the front yard. And there's also a historic marble wall along that front, which would preclude us from being able to access kind of any parking behind the building. So we're really limited to the zone that we're showing here in the diagram.
Okay.
I understand Peter's concern about parking reduction. I will say that currently they use on-street parking for the two vehicles that they have. I know it's recognized that the existing garage could be those two required off-street parking spots. And with the addition of the AHU, we need the accessory dwelling unit, we need an additional spot. So I do recognize that three are required, and we're doing our best to get two in the spots that we're showing currently.
Aaron, those two parking spots don't currently exist. Is that correct?
There is a gate. There's a wooden fence along the alley, and there is a gate, but no, they don't use it for parking.
Right. They currently park in the street, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're gaining parking
spaces. I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
Well, gaining two parking spaces over what's there and not increasing, well, you are increasing with the ADU, the occupancy of the site.
That is accurate.
Aaron, what's the accessory structure going to be used for? I mean, it's obviously a residence, but is it a nightly rental? Is it a mother-in-law suite? Like, what are they going to use it for?
She's hoping, well, there's been mention of a few different things, but most recently, the idea of her mother moving to Knoxville was the goal of the accessory dwelling unit, give her a place to stay.
And forgive me, I don't know, is it possible over there to do a two-story where you have a living space over a garage?
I believe that is possible, but we're trying to, the garage is actually pretty charming and is a kind of a cast in place concrete structure. So I kind of hate to add space above it. I think it would, I think it would be a tough sell for the Historic Zoning Commission, but I haven't approached that yet.
Right. But as the structure itself, can it physically be altered to be used for parking? You're talking about a topography change, and I see that a little bit when I'm looking at the street view, but there's not really a great view of the back of the house anywhere.
Right.
You can see standing here. So when that topography changes, could that garage be used to pick up any more parking, assuming it wasn't converted, or is it just not accessible because of modern day widths of cars and turning radiuses and things like that?
Honestly, the biggest thing that would be that would make that hard to do would be the fact that the level of the garage is at two different levels. So this diagram is pretty small, but there's a change between the left-hand side of the drawing where the bed is shown and then the right-hand side where you can see kind of the two closed carriage doors. So to answer your question directly, I guess it would be possible, but it would involve removing the floor slab in there, and I'm unsure of how deep those foundations are. So that would be, I think, difficult to do.
Daniel, if you look at a Google Earth 3D and look at the back of the garage, you can see what he's talking about. It slopes a little bit there.
Can you put that on the screen?
I pulled up on my other screen.
It looks like there's room for parking if immediately after the curb cut, if the drive widened, that you could fit another space. Is that correct?
If you're asking me if you can pull in outside of the garage and then turn into the backyard, then I guess that's possible.
I don't mean the backyard. Like, I mean, there is the yard area, but I realize it's kind of unreasonable to take up the whole backyard. But the area between the current parking and the fence.
It's possible. It does slope from the property corner down. So there's going to be, I think, potentially some regrading work to get kind of a leveled out spot there as it is. But I guess if we introduce a retaining wall where the fence is, then that might be possible.
I'm doing what Grant suggested. And I see what you're talking about.
Is there any opposition to this? Did we already ask?
I have not asked yet.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Thank you for reminding me. And so with that reminder, is there any opposition to this? Anyone opposed to this? If so, please raise your hand on the little panel. Okay.
I'd like to make a motion we approve this variance based on the topography and the site constraints. Also considering they are adding two new parking spaces in addition to the two. There's two on-street spaces in front of the house, so they're really getting four spaces. But I can, with respect to city staff comments, I think it's a reasonable request and necessary variance.
Okay, 2 seconds. And my comment there is very similar to Grant's. I think that they're going to reuse a structure that has very little use otherwise. And I'm in favor of that in this case. And I see the topographical challenge that kind of creates the circumstance that they're trying to overcome. And I don't see anything unreasonable about it. And we are picking up a couple spaces that are not getting used currently. So we have a motion and a second. Any further comment or question from the board?
I don't see the hardship for increasing the building coverage.
And my thought on that is that it's a pre-existing structure, like it's there already.
Well, that's not what's increasing it, right?
The addition, yeah.
The addition.
Puts it over.
If you'd like for me to comment, I'm not sure that this is a hardship, but we're trying to do a sensitive addition that is keeping in character with the house. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that coupled with the existing kind of constraints of the structure limit where that can happen. So there is an existing enclosed porch that's glassed in that we're looking to extend. So that is somewhat dictating at least the width of that footprint. And then it's coming out from the house in a way that can make it usable for her artist studio to house the pieces of equipment that she's trying to put in there. Or printing press in particular.
Yeah, I thought about that when I was first looking at it, and that original inset for the porch of the original structure just made sense. It's a logical place to take the addition to. I thought at first, well, can you just make it a little bit shorter along the back? But it, where you landed makes sense.
We have a motion and a second, and we'll need to vote on that unless that motion gets withdrawn.
I'll keep my motion. I'm glad Christina pointed that out, though. It's a good, I didn't notice that, but I still move to approve the variance. I think it's a minimal adjustment, and again, it's in line with what existing historic structure and the nature of the project. Reasonable request.
Okay. Any other comment before we vote? Okay, we have motion second. Juliana, please call a roll call vote.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
All right, 5G20VA is approved as submitted. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you all.
All right, and next up, 5I20VA, Grady, and on 1001 Keeley Avenue. Let's see, so, who's here to speak to this? Is Stuart here? There's Stuart, I see Stuart's name. On mute there, Stuart. Stuart, you need to unmute yourself. We can't hear you. Okay. There you go.
I was going to let William Andrews, the architect, speak on this.
Okay. Is he here? I don't see his name in the list. Is he here?
Is that him coming in?
Do not see a William Andrews yet.
Hello?
William, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay, great. I'm good. Thank you very much. State your name and address for the record, William, just real quick.
Yeah, okay. William Andrews, 196 Mainsail Road, Kingston, Tennessee.
Okay. And on 520B, I need to ask if we have any city comments, staff comments.
No comments on this one.
Okay, thank you very much. William, if you would, please tell us about this variance request and the hardship behind it.
Yes, sir. That'd be great. Okay. We have one of these classic older houses in Sequoia Hills with a tiny garage. And what we're trying to do, if you look at the site plan, the back half of the house, well, the back two-thirds of the house is a family room. And we're just trying to avoid maybe several hundred thousand dollars in destroying the existing family room and having to go turn it into a huge project, I guess. We're just trying to keep from spending another couple hundred thousand dollars for this corner that's sticking into the setback.
Okay.
So it's basically the goal is just a two-car garage, and we're just trying not to, mm-hmm. to get into a huge project, I guess, is the best way.
Okay, I understand, sure. Let's see, is there anyone here, well, and William, is there anyone here else to speak to in favor of this variance? I think I see Ms. O'Bannon that raised her hand.
Yes, I'm here. I'm Blanche O'Bannon. I live next door to this property at 1015 Kiwi.
Sure, that's great. Are you here to speak in favor of or against this?
No, against it.
Against it? Yes, ma'am. Okay. I don't think there's anyone else here to speak in favor of. Is that right, William?
I would say the owner's with me, and he may want to comment as well. Okay. But we'll wait. Go ahead.
Okay. And that's fine. We can do that. Ms. O'Bannon, if you would, please speak. Go ahead and tell us why you're opposed.
Well, the house is, this extension will come towards me like 10 feet. I've moved here in 2001. And since that time, there have been four different owners. There was a fence between the properties put up by an owner prior to my buying this. And so part of the setback that they are including in this is over on the side of the fence that's on my side of the fence. I've been maintaining that property for 19 years. And, you know, it's been pretty extensive maintenance. But this extension, I mean, you almost, this drawing, I don't think really does it justice. If you were standing in my backyard and saw where it is now and thinking that they're coming towards me that many feet, I mean, it's going to really devalue my property. I don't really feel like there is a hardship but I have great concerns about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, sir?
Is this William? Hey.
Yeah, this is Bill Andrews again. So we're actually not asking for a variance on the side yard setback. You can see some dimensions there. We're 11 feet four off of the property line at the closest point. I think 8 feet is the minimum for this house because we have 25 feet on the corner. And then, so we would have 8 feet as a minimum, and we're going to be 3 feet, 3.4 feet away from the setback. So even if we were to scoot the house away from the street, which is around 4.4 feet away from the street, we would still be in great shape as far as any legal setbacks go. So we're really not asking for any favors from anybody concerning the side yard setback. The startling part was that apparently what happened was we had this survey just to make sure that there were no problems with setbacks and just to verify everything and be as legal and proper as possible. And so when they surveyed it, it ended up the surveyors, when they marked the corner pins, they found out that our fence that separates the two houses is actually quite a bit on our property, as you can see on the drawing. So, and we don't really, we like the fence. We're not out to mess up. We're happy if she takes care of the fence the way it is. We're not, you know, we don't have any desire for more yard to take care of. We're just trying to get a little bit of a front yard favor here for setback. As you also, if you look at the site plan, you will see that the property line is extremely further back from the street curb than the property line is. They're both, there's quite a bit of distance between what we're doing and the street, you know.
Sure. Okay, Bill, thank you. Thank you for that explanation. Okay, I need to move on to the board and ask if there's any questions or comments from our board. I do not personally have any comments or questions about this. Grant, you're on mute there, bud. Thank you.
Sorry. My only comment is it appears, I don't know how much of an impact this makes. I was thinking it was a side, thinking of it in terms of a side side setback variance, but the way the house is oriented on the property is sort of unusual. It's a corner property, so it's angled to the corner. So I think if it were straightened out, I'm not sure if this would have been required a variance. Is that correct? That makes sense.
In a way, it depends how you want to pinwheel the house orientation on the property. But another interesting thing about these pieces of property, it's very hard to go down the street and figure out whether we really need a variance or not, because if you look at the tax map, these tax maps are notoriously kind of loose on where the houses are actually located. So it's hard to say if we should even be having to get a setback variance.
Well, sure.
As far as the front goes, yeah. But on the side, well, again, we're totally
fine.
Yeah,
we understand these are large lots, and they are. Mm-hmm. Of course, what we determine setbacks on is property lines and code.
I was trying to understand what the hardship was, and that I was wondering if that could be considered a hardship, the fact that the house is oriented the way it is. Mm-hmm.
But one thing you'll notice too on it is that you'll see
Bill.
The little jaws.
Hey Bill. Sorry, we're kind of into our board discussion at this point. So
I apologize.
No, that's fine. I get it. But let me get the board members to comment real quick and get our feedback if you don't.
Hard to do this via Zoom.
It's difficult.
In person be different.
I do have a question for Bill.
Yes, sir.
How deep is the garage, the addition?
I think it's like 20.
Making it shallower.
We had it before we knew we needed a variance at all. We had it at 24 feet for the depth of the parking. And then just for the aesthetics of the front, just how it looked on the lot, how it looked compared to the front door, we actually shortened it 2 feet. So I think we have about 22 feet clearance from garage door to the wall that we bump into.
Mm-hmm. And if you... Well,
yeah, so we would have wound up with like an 18-foot garage depth or something. Right. It kind of messed up.
Which is serviceable for most vehicles.
Yeah, but, you know, most vehicles are like 15 feet or 16 feet. It'd make it fairly tight getting in front of the car, getting around the back. So, but we did shorten it. We did think about it. We did shorten it.
My comment and thought on this was that is very similar to what Grant was saying, but I mean, nobody has talked about that. This is, it's on a pretty prominent corner in the neighborhood, and it appears to me this could be two front yards. I'm not, and if nothing else, the house was askewed to give nod, to that fact that it was kind of on the corner with two prominent streets and a prominent intersection in the neighborhood. And because of the way they situated the house, now the other answer to that is, well, you don't have to have the garage, you know, it was built without the garage, but for the addition and crossing over and because of the orientation, I don't think I'm going to be opposed to this personally.
I'm having some difficulty establishing a true hardship, and at the same time, I want to balance that with the fact of a homeowner wanting to make reasonable use of his property, that all things considered isn't terribly intrusive into the standards that are set for setbacks as well as lot coverage. So I'm on the fence.
The other comment I'll make is that there appears to be a setback from the property line, then there's setback from the actual street, and there's a considerable amount of right of way there too. I'm inclined to support this given the nature of the siting of the house, unusual the way it's oriented. Again, I think if it were pivoted, the house were pivoted around, this wouldn't be an issue at all. It's a corner lot. And again, there's substantial right of way. It's set back pretty far from the street. It looks consistent with the other houses in the neighborhood. So for those reasons, I would make a motion we approve.
Second.
Okay. I heard that as a motion, right?
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah, motion to approve.
Okay. And then I heard a second from Christina. So we have a motion and a second. Any other comment, Don or David?
I am agreeing with what Grant was saying about how the house is sitting on the corner of the lot there. And visually, I don't think this will be counter to what the intent of this setback is trying to do. So I think I'm in agreement with that.
I mean, if you measure it from the actual curb, the end of the driveway, it's like 80 feet. I mean, there's right. a lot of space between the road and the house. It's set
and
back.
The way the street tapers and it widens yeah. out, flares out there.
Yeah.
Okay. No further comment. We got a motion and a second. Juliana, please call the roll call.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
All right, 5I20VA is approved as submitted. Thank you very much. And I believe that is all for our meeting today. With that being the case, without any further comment, I'll adjourn the meeting.
A little better than last month.
Yeah, it was a little better, a lot shorter.
Yeah.
All right, thank you all very much. It's good to see you as such. And
thank you. Good job.
You too.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good day.
Yeah,
thank you.